Welcome to the very first pilot episode of Suram. On this episode, you get to sample two of our very own skim-crawling horror stories that will keep you on the edge of your seat and ensure that you'll be sleeping with the lights on tonight. The first story brings you into the shoes of a boy recalling his time with his aunt, who possesses the power of the third eye and using that ability to cleanse evil spirits. The second story brings you to a quiet town in Lingi and what can happen when you leave a companion behind on the isolated roads of Ipoh in the middle of the night. So without further ado, enjoy the rest of the episode. I'd like my first story to be an introduction to the rich and strange folklore of Malaysia. To those who are unfamiliar, Malaysia has a very mixed culture. Malays, Chinese, and Indians being the most prominent races. Our society, despite being highly modernized, still holds on deeply to superstitions, and for good reason. First, a little about me. I'm of Asian heritage, and my family has always been very much into the spiritual and paranormal. I have grown up learning about curses, possessed relatives, doppelgangers, and strange smoky jars with tiny stick figures inside. I know what it means to see a rusty nail on a banana tree, with a red string trailing from it. I have listened to forbidden songs known only by older fishermen, who swear that if sung at the right moment on the beach, a princess will rise from the sea and walk on the waves. I have seen what people will do when they are scorned. Moving on, the story is more about my aunt than me. As long as I've known her, she's been the kindest, meekest person I've ever met. I remember my brother sneaking up behind her with rubber cockroaches from the joke shop, and she'd shriek as if she saw ghosts. Actually, she never shrieked when she saw ghosts, because she'd been seeing them all her life. It was a family curse. My grandmother could see the dead, and now she. She said they weren't frightening, per se, just normal-looking people, looking confused and lost. Even when she was in boarding school, she wouldn't be surprised to see a gaunt old lady sitting in her room while she was studying, or in a busy Chinese restaurant during a family dinner, a silent relative that was present at a table that nobody noticed or spoke to. However, as I said, my family was deeply spiritual. My aunt was more than well-versed in the ways of Hindu mysticism and prayer. She knew how to ward off a fanatical ghost that was obsessed with a girl. She knew how to cure illnesses brought on by negative energies. Thus, it wasn't unusual for a relative to request her help during times of paranormal activity. One day, she got a call from a relative who lived nearby. The woman claimed that her son was seeing someone lurking around the house. The boy claimed that a Malay woman dressed in full baju kebaya was standing in the corner of his room, smiling at him and beckoning. Well, who you gonna call, right? My aunt and I made our way to the woman's house. It was a normal terrace house with a large tree in front of it and a row of shops across the road. I remember our relative letting us in. She looked naturally frightened and was holding her little boy close. My aunt asked the boy what exactly did the woman look like. She was very beautiful, he said, with painted lips, henna hands and feet, and a lovely smile. My aunt noted that she was dressed very formally, almost as if for a wedding. The woman was always beckoning at him to come to her, inviting him as you would a little dog to come play with you. We began to search. Well, I say we. It was mostly my aunt. We went room to room for my aunt to sense the ghost. She did this by standing very still in the room and focusing intensely with eyes closed, shivering and writhing. It was very unnerving to watch. Finally, my aunt said that the ghost was present. We were in the boy's room. She said that the ghost was hiding behind a cupboard. She could see beautiful, hennaed feet under, and that was all we needed to know. My aunt then began a series of prayers to cleanse the house. I won't go into much detail on this, but she basically made sure the house was wiped clean of any unwanted guests. And after another careful round of inspection, the ghost was declared gone. We left the house with our relative and her son looking notably relieved. As we approached the front gate, my aunt said that we should celebrate by baking some chocolate cake. She was an excellent baker. I'd just hang around the kitchen, picking at the chocolate chips. She was laughing as she reminded me of how I'd beg her to make a blue cake when I was a kid. The moment we closed the gate, she stopped laughing. Her face turned pale, as if she'd forgotten or missed something incredibly important. She looked up at the tree that was in front of the house and stared at it intensely with a strange expression of pity and repulse. She then silently entered the car and we drove off. I didn't want to ask her what she saw. Perhaps it wasn't even my business. But a few months later, she told me herself. Sitting on that tree, the ghost of the woman in the budget kebaya sat, staring longingly at the house she was now barred from. Only this time, the formerly beautiful, smiling face was twisted into an expression of pure disappointment and unbridled hatred. Alas, we conclude our spine-chilling tale for the time being. We would love to hear your feedback and thoughts on our pilot episode this week. We are currently expanding our team, and we are looking for voice talents and writers. Interested? Get in touch with us on our social media platforms. That's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. We are currently working on our first season, and it will be released soon for the weeks to come. More details will be provided, so be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to get the latest updates and teaser for our upcoming seasons. This episode can be produced by you, for we are actively seeking for collaborative partners to work with. This podcast was produced by Calvin Day and hosted by yours truly, Jeff K. We couldn't do this without the help of the Condo Wall Brothers, Kush and Yash. With special thanks to Shu Yi and the wonderful staff from iSeek Music Studio.